Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. American voters elected Donald Trump in part because he would intentionally upset the balance in Washington. But what's the impact of upsetting the balance in Jerusalem? Yesterday, the president announced that the United States will recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Here with Perspective, we have Tim Shorn. He's director of international studies and associate professor of political science at the University of South Dakota. Tim Shorn, welcome back to the program. Nice to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Give us an idea of whether or not we saw this announcement coming. Were there signs that this was expected from the president?
He had started to drop hints that he was going to make the announcement this week. And I think, certainly many in Washington and around the world wondered if he would follow through that with announcement. And indeed he did, apparently against the advice of some of his cabinet members and certainly against the advice of many of our allies.
His speech, we carried it live here yesterday, so I was able to listen to every word. It seemed like he stuck to the teleprompter. He was measured in reading what he wanted to say. As you listened to him, what did he say and what did he not say? How do you evaluate that announcement itself?
Well, I didn't actually get to listen to it live, so I had to go back and read. But I think that it's clear that he felt compelled to do this as a result of promises that he had made during his campaign, and also because of pressure that he was receiving from campaign donors and campaign supporters. Certainly the expectation amongst a number of his supporters was that he would do this fairly quickly after being inaugurated. And it took a significant amount of time before he could put this proposal in place. Apparently, early in the administration, there were some who pushed back, including family members who said, we need to focus initially on creating a Middle East peace plan, and an announcement about moving the American embassy to Jerusalem or declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel would set those plans back. But as time progressed, those plans were set aside anyway, and I think he felt pressure to move forward. One of the things that he did not mention during the course of the announcement was anything to do with what 2/3 of the countries of the world recognize as the state of Palestine and what a number of Palestinians believe to be their capital as well. And the fact that that was missing told us a lot about what his purpose for this announcement was.
What was his purpose other than to fulfill a campaign promise?
I really think that for the most part, is it.
Really?
That he really wanted to take this step forward because he had made the promise to certain contributors. Also, we could say that this was an appeal once again to his base, especially conservative evangelical Christians in the United States who believe very strongly about this. And there's really no necessary strategic reason to make this announcement. In fact, if we're concerned about what's going on in the world and especially in the Middle East, this was probably a no-win announcement except in creating closer ties with the government, the current government of Israel. But beyond that, there was really no strategic reason to make the announcement that he did.
Skirmishes have already erupted in the West Bank and along the Gaza Strip. Tell me why. Put that into perspective. When people say, what are the consequences of this? And then we see violence in the streets.
Right. And I think that's a necessary question. And we have to answer it, we have to take a step back. In 1947, the United Nations Special Committee on Palestine determined that Jerusalem ought to be an international city, and that during the partition plan for historic Palestine, we would see the creation of a Jewish state and then also a Palestinian Arab state, with Jerusalem essentially set aside. But two wars in 1948 and 1967 changed that. And what it eventually meant was that the Israelis ended up in complete control of Jerusalem. And certainly we know that, that the Palestinians have hoped to make Jerusalem their capital as well. I think that moderates on both sides, both Israelis and Palestinians, see a city that could be shared and divided to some extent. But the Israeli government is certainly opposed to that, and hardliners amongst the Palestinian population are opposed to that. What we have done with this announcement then is essentially sided completely with a more right-of-center Israeli stance and have ignored the concerns of the Palestinians and even some Israelis. So the Palestinians see that they are going to have to stake a claim on their own, and they are going to have to push back on their own because the U.S. superpower has decided to take a very strong stand on this particular issue.
Who is opposed to it internationally? You mentioned our allies sort of warning against this action. Which ones? Who's saying this was a bad idea?
Most of the European Union were opposed to it because they didn't see that this would be a step toward peaceful resolution of the Arab-Israeli conflict or the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Most of our allies in the, probably all of our allies in the Arab world warned against this. Beyond that, even the United Nations came out opposed to it. Also, countries that perhaps we don't have the friendliest relations with, including Russia, were also opposed to it. So somewhat ironically, what we have seen is that President Trump has unified a significant part of the world in opposition to America's policy.
So where does this leave our role, then, the American role in the Middle East peace process, or any kind of plans or negotiations going forward? What does it do there?
Well, I think it, to some extent, it takes the mask off. We have oftentimes tried to hold ourselves up as an objective party who can bring both parties to the table and to help reach a essentially settlement, final settlement on the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. But if you were to talk to Palestinians in the area, they would say, really, the United States is one of the strongest advocates for the Israeli side. And Israelis would say that as well. And what this does is essentially takes the mask off, and it says that we're going to support Israel. We're going to support Israel's claims. We're going to support them internationally. And we're not going to be particularly concerned about the demands or claims of the Palestinians. What it means is that no one will recognize us as an objective third party in the Israeli-Palestinian crisis, and that no one is going to take us seriously now if we attempt to put forward a peace plan, because we are already on record as giving Israel essentially what it wants.
So does that damage, then, if it damages our influence, does that damage Israel and their in getting what they want, because they really can no longer have the U.S. credibly on their side?
They are pretty much moving forward in getting what they want anyway.
Right.
Now that we have recognized Israel as their capital, while that doesn't change really a lot of the facts on the ground, it means that somebody who is important has recognized what has essentially been a reality since the founding of Israel. The problem is that we have also given them, for the most part, a green light on settlement building and settlement expansion. And these settlements are on land that is part of the Palestinian state. And so we see a continuous chipping away of the Palestinian state and Palestinian territory as time goes by as well. And so there is really nothing holding back Israel from staking whatever claim it wants now. And there's really no one who is going to stop them. The only country that Israel would be likely to listen to would be the United States. And President Trump has let it be known that we are not going to pull the reins back when it comes to Israel, that we're essentially giving them carte blanche at this point.
President Trump said yesterday, quoting a part of his speech, "We want an agreement that is a great deal for the Israelis and a great deal for the Palestinians." Is that lip service? Does anyone believe that?
It is lip service. If there is going to be a deal under the terms that we are de facto presenting at this point, it's going to be a great deal for the Israelis, and it's going to be a very bad deal for the Palestinians. We see essentially a continued occupation of the West Bank, which is the major part of the Palestinian state. We see growing settlements there and a growing Israeli population there. We have essentially a division of the West Bank into at least two parts, with only one checkpoint between those two parts, north and south, that there is not going to be a great deal for the Palestinians. It's simply not possible at this point. And I don't think anyone truly believes that President Trump and his administration are interested in bringing forward any kind of deal that would result in a settlement between the Israelis and Palestinians.
How do you expect this to play out in America, you know, with American Jews, with Americans, you know, who have come, you know, from the Arab world? Do you see an impact and, you know, consequences stateside?
Not really, no. This certainly does appeal to the base, the evangelical Christian base. But as far as, you know, the Jewish community within the United States, I think that there is going to be some diversity of thought. I would argue that most Jewish people truly want Jerusalem to be their capital, and they have seen Jerusalem as their capital since the beginning of Israel. The issue becomes, and I saw a number of comments from both Israelis, Jewish Israelis, and then also Jewish people around parts of the world, that yes, they welcome the recognition that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, but perhaps there needed to have been something for the Palestinians in the same announcement, and perhaps this was not the best way to go forward with the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And so I think that, I mean, clearly there are members of the Jewish community who are euphoric right now, but I think that there are some within the United States who worry about the ramifications, both short and medium term. And we're seeing those ramifications play out now as there are protests and disturbances in the West Bank. There are calls for a new uprising emanating from Gaza. My guess is that there will be protests in other cities around the Arab world if their governments allow those protests to occur. So I think that a number of, you know, quite a few people were aware of what the ramifications and what the response could be.
How bad can it get?
That's a good question, and it's one that I'm hesitant to predict, because sometimes I look at the worst-case scenario. I think it would be unsurprising if a real kind of third intifada erupted. I think it would be unsurprising if not Hamas, certainly Islamic Jihad or other groups from Gaza started firing missiles at southern Israel again. I think there's a real potential for this to erupt into a very deadly conflict. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion, but I think the next few days will tell. And I guess the question that we have to wait for an answer to is, will these uprisings have some staying power? Will they continue? And if they do continue, what will the response of Israel be? And if past practices are any indication, the response from Israel will probably be somewhat overly zealous, which will then fuel the flames even more. I don't expect cooler heads to prevail, but it's possible that it won't get as bad as it could.
Dr. Tim Shorn is Director of International Studies and Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of South Dakota. He joined us today from Vermilion. Tim Shorn, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.